Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here on a Tuesday, December the 6th, 2022, 10 minutes past the hour, 32 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion, 42 degrees, not too bad at all, about 12 degrees warmer than it was yesterday morning, so we are picking up temperature-wise. You know, yesterday we came on about 16, 17 after, and this morning we're coming on at 10 after. The news must not have been a whole lot yesterday for us to start this early, but that's the way it goes some days. I always remember the quote. I love the quote. Madge Cooper told me this many years ago when she worked at WMRN, and she said she walked by the news desk, and Joe Ione was there, and Joe Ione was one of the best newsmen in really the history of news in Marion. And Madge walked by his desk and said, "Joe, there wasn't very much on the news today." And Joe said, "I don't make it, I just report it." I think that's the greatest line in news history. So this morning I would be saying to the news department, the news center here at WGH Talk, wasn't much on the news this morning, but I would not want their reply to be, "I don't make it, I just report it." I would want them to, in this day and age, just to go out and make some news so we could get a longer news report. In any event, I'm a little cranky this morning to begin with because I went to McDonald's this morning and I got through the line okay. You know, no problem getting through the line this morning. The line moved nice and fast. But they gave me a regular soda, no diet soda. And they have not made that mistake in quite some time. So it's just, you know, we're starting on a bad note because I've got this regular soda here. And I don't know, there's just something about regular soda that does not do it for me. Now, of course, I will drink it because I've paid $1.07 for it. But really not my thing. Anyway, little housekeeping here. I do want to remind everybody they can send their Christmas cards to us. WGH Talk, 523 South Prospect Street, right here in Marion, 43302. Make sure you put a little message in there and a return address. And if you put your return address in there, we will get you a card back. We already got our first card from Kevin Griffith, so he will be getting a card. And as soon as we get your card, we'll read it on the air. We'll hang it in the studio, and we will get you a card back. 523 South Prospect Street here in Marion. Okay. What else is on the news? Well, fruitcake toss coming up December 15th at 7 p.m. Now, we've got 40 people in this fruitcake toss. If there's anyone you'd like to enter or anyone you've heard back from, I don't know if we've heard back from any city council members or anything like that, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. If you've been thinking about adding anybody, let me know. And we've still got the Ralph Thacker mystery. Now, you know, 40 people in this, just some of the names: Sarah, Judy Cressup, Pastor Whitaker, Buckeye Guy, Fruitcake Lily, Ralph, Glenn, Angie, Sheriff Bales, Lieutenant Brown, pretty much everybody from the radio station, Fire Chief Chuck Deem, Judge Edwards, Mayor Schertzer, James Anderson, Naturalist, Ted Jolliffe, Mayor Kellogg, Dr. Davis, Ray Grogan. There's going to be love in the air that night, by the way. Have I mentioned that? I think I've mentioned that before. There's going to be love in the air the night of the fruitcake toss, so get ready for that. But here's the two problems with the fruitcake toss right now. I never really thought that there would be a lot of problem with this, but Because last year was fine. The first year we did it was fine, and the second year we did it was fine. Well, first let me mention Ralph Thacker, because if I don't mention this, I'll never get back to it. Ralph Thacker was our original winner. And I think he's the only person on our list that we have not been able to track down to tell he's in this year's competition. Now, another reason it's important to tell him he's in this year's competition is because Bob Welsh from Columbus, Ohio, is bringing plaques for all the past winners, which would include Ralph Thacker and Don O'Bauer. Now, I know Don O'Bauer will be there. His grandfather has entered him, but we have not been able to make contact with Ralph Thacker. And yesterday, Adam was trying to find Ralph. That didn't go very well. So has anybody made contact, or does anybody know how to get in contact with Ralph Thacker? We know he lives over in Fair Park. He said that on the air before, but I cannot for the life of me remember what his phone number was. And I never wrote it down. So in any event, if you know how to reach Ralph Thacker, or you have reached him, let us know. 740-751-4038. All right. Now back to the fruitcake toss itself. Here are the problems we're having. Now, yesterday, Adam called in, and we're still a week and a half out, but Adam said the weather is going to be bad that night. Now, I looked at the weather report yesterday, and it showed possible snow that morning, maybe an inch, which is not a whole lot. That wouldn't stop us. And maybe a little rain in the morning. Now, rain in the morning would not be horrible. And the temperatures are not looking that horrible that day either. I think high 30s, low 40s. So that's about what it was last year. But here's the thing. Now people have me paranoid. They're saying, well, do you want to move this inside? Do you want to move it to a parking lot? What do you want to do? Because if it snows or rains or whatever, you don't want to do it outside. Well, you know, I think all outside events are like that. You know, I think the peanut push is like that. If it rains, that's going to be a difficult day. If a parade, the popcorn parade, if it rains that day, it's going to be a difficult day. I think we just have to play it by ear. Now, I want to send out the press release for this, but I have not done it yet because I don't really... There's been some conjecture on where it's going to be. So here's what I think I'm going to do. And I want to hear your feedback on this, because I value the listener's feedback. Here's what I've come to the conclusion of. I think we do have a plan B with a church parking lot, which I'll know more about that today. But here's the deal. I think I'm going to say it's going to happen at the studio. And if God forbid it should rain or something, I guess we'll just have to move it to the church parking lot. And we'll put somebody out at the studio to tell people to go to the church parking lot. Now, does this sound like a logical sequence of events? Because that way we can still say it's going to happen at the studio. Because here's another problem with the whole thing. People like us to broadcast this live. And if we do it someplace other than the studio, it becomes difficult to broadcast live. Broadcasting it live from the studio is not hard at all. And we did that last year. You know, it's funny. Last year, there wasn't a whole lot of thought put into it. But this year, there's a lot more thought put into it. For whatever reason. So what do you think we should do with the fruitcake toss? Because we definitely need to get this press release out. Do you think we should just say it's going to happen at the studio, and if, God forbid, the weather turns ugly, then we can have a plan B, maybe to move down to the church, or maybe get a school between now and then that would let us go into the gym. But if it's okay that night, if it's just cold, I mean, we're only out there for an hour, just 7 to 8. If it's cold, then we can just do it outside. What do you think? Or is there a place in your mind that we could do this that would give us a building on short notice. I've talked to a few people about this, but it's always been back and forth because I could, well, we need to have it at the studio because that way it'll be easier to broadcast and it's easier to do it outside. You know, there are just some events that you don't want to do inside because half the fun is being outside. The peanut push being one of those. So what do you think about the fruitcake toss? Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What a conundrum the big fruitcake toss has turned into this year. And I think it's because we have a lot more people in it this year. You know, 40 people right now. And I think when we run the press release, there probably will be a few more that will trickle in as well. And also, the people who show up that night, you know, clearly, see, and I don't know about this either. This is a whole nother problem. People that night, I think, will bring people that may want to participate. And I have said that the shutoff date on this for getting people in is going to be the 13th. That way we have some kind of idea of how many people are going to be throwing fruitcakes. So the people who show up that night who have not been entered, well, they might not be able to toss a fruitcake if we already have too many people doing it. So that's another question. Should we let late entries in? You know, we're going to have to get a whole declaration of rules made up just for this fruitcake toss. But if anybody has any thoughts on these things, how we should run this fruitcake toss, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, I do want to mention again that the winner of the fruitcake toss will get a plaque this year from Columbus, Ohio, thanks to Bob Welsh. They will get a certificate proclaiming they are the 2022 fruitcake toss champion. They will get their very own Claxton fruitcake, and they'll get dinner somewhere in town that night. So a nice big prize for the winner. Okay, what else is on the agenda? And again, if you have any thoughts on the fruitcake toss or any information you'd like to add as far as entrance, so on and so forth, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, you know, I saw another story this morning. I was talking yesterday about all the sick people that I've run into and how many people I've noticed are calling off work because they're sick. Well, I read a story this morning, doing show prep here this morning, that they say this is going to be the worst flu season in years. Now, they attribute a lot of that to the fact that we've been wearing masks, we've been protected against the flu, the last two flu seasons have been pretty mild, that this is going to be a bad flu season. And we also have the measles, apparently back in Central Ohio. I believe there's a measles outbreak going on now. And I don't even know what qualifies as an outbreak, but I believe that came from the health department yesterday. And also, this, what is it, RSV, this lung disease that's going around, and of course pneumonia has always went around this time of year. So apparently it's going to be one of the worst flu seasons in the history of the flu. But as I said, the lady I ran into the other night said she got the flu shot. And she was still sick. So I don't know. Is anybody reading these stories about this being the worst flu season in years? What do you think? 740-751-4038. And do you think it has any correlation to us wearing masks the last couple years? Because I will say I have nothing to say about the mask. That is not one of my pet peeves. But I will say that working in the public pretty much all my life, that during the winters of 2020 and 2021, I never had a cold. Now, that is strange because I've always gotten colds. Because when you work with the public, you just tend to get a cold. Your coworkers are sick. Your the public is sick. It just happens that way. But when we were wearing the masks, 2020 and 2021, I never got a cold. Now, I don't know why that was. I guess maybe time will flush that out. But is anybody reading these stories about the worst flu season in the history of flu seasons? Awful interesting. 740-751-4038. Well, here's a problem I had last night, and maybe this will put you in a bad mood as well. It certainly put me in a little bit of a bad mood. I had my Christmas tree on last night, and I'm sitting, I think I was talking on the phone at the time, and I looked over, and half the lights on my Christmas tree had gone out. Just shut off. Christmas tree, lights, half of them, 50%, gone. So, this is like 8 o'clock at night. And apparently, I have some kind of OCD, because I kept thinking to myself, well, now my tree is half lit, and am I going to wait till tomorrow? Do I want to go to the store tomorrow? What if something comes up and I don't have time? Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it was 8 o'clock last night, and I jumped in, got my coat on. I live close to Meijer. I drove over to Meijer. I got the strands of lights were on sale. Buy one, get one half off. And I got two new strands of lights and put the strand of light on the tree. So the tree is all lit up again and probably better lit than it was before. But here's a question I had for you. Once your tree is decorated and you have got the lights on it and you've got the garland on it and you've got the ornaments on it, how do you get a string of lights off that tree? And I've got candy canes on my tree. If you want to take one strand of bad lights off that tree, and I think my tree has three strands of lights on it, how do you get a bad strand of lights off your tree? Once you have the ornaments, the candy canes, the garland, and the other lights on there. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you're lucky you can stay home and be on the radio and you don't need Rudolph this morning.
No, I didn't need Rudolph this morning, although I think a lot of people did with that fog out there.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of foggy out this way and Pleasant Township, but I wonder how many I counted on a counter the other day. I think, what, 8 days for the fruit cake cost?
Let's see here. It's the 6th, and we've got the 15th, so 9 days left.
Yeah, and you know what? I haven't seen a fruitcake around anywhere, and I got a question to put out. I wonder how many people can remember the last time they ate a fruitcake. I cannot remember. I know maybe you're getting older, but that has nothing to do with you. You don't always remember a fruitcake, wouldn't you, Scott, if you ate one?
Oh, it stuck with me. Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned not seeing the fruitcakes, because the Civitan Group, which used to put out the fruitcakes, we found out a couple months ago that the Civitan Group here in town actually went out of business back in April because of not enough volunteers. So that's why we're not seeing the fruitcakes in the banks and places we used to see them. So I don't know where people get their fruitcakes this year.
Well, now, which one was the best? You haven't got really a comment on best of a fruitcake, but I would just wonder. There's one that people could tolerate. Now, what brand was that? Is that the one you're talking about?
I don't. Well, you know, certain people love that Claxton fruitcake. Now, I think it's the worst, because to me, that's the one that tastes like wax lips. I honestly don't know if I've ever eaten a fruitcake that I liked. I know there are some homemade ones that aren't bad.
Well, what was the one you talked with the owner or someone, the business? And I think the listeners or something said that was the best kind. Or the ones you see in the banks, are they the best kind? Or wasn't there two brands out that one was you could tolerate more than the other?
Well, the guy I called in Georgia, that was That was the Claxton Man. And the one that they sold in Banks were the Claxton Fruitcakes. So I think that's the most popular. I don't. Okay. I know some stores, like Meijer, I think, has a store brand or something like that. I don't remember. I'll tell you, I do have a question for you, though, because we've had a little controversy about the fruitcake toss, because we're up to 40 people now.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday, Adam called in and said that the weather that day is not supposed to be terrible on the 15th, but that it might be a little, like maybe an inch of snow and maybe some rain that morning. So then people got saying, well, you've got 40 people in this, and, you know, there might be rain, there might be snow. Maybe you should move this inside somewhere. And I keep thinking, well, you know, if we aren't all outdoor events subject to weather?
Yes, yes. And performance-wise, if you're on a winning side, heck, we're both in the same climate and this and that, and competition is evenly. But others blame it on the weather because they lost, but you know how that goes. But how many feet did they throw the winning toss last year?
I think Don O'Bauer was our winner, and I believe he tossed it close to 70 foot, which I still have no idea how he ever, because you have to stand, you can't run, you got to stand in one spot and underhand toss that thing, and I still don't know how he got it 70 foot.
Well, that would limit your question of where would we have an inside arena to do that with. You have to have a height element there to get an arch in it to throw it. You couldn't throw it, well, some baseball players, they can throw in a straight line, boy, from third to, I don't know what the, anymore what the distance from third base to first base, but they could throw it right straight on a line, but we have to have an arch somewhere. What's your idea of an indoor place arena?
Well, my feeling at this point is what I think I'm going to do, because I have talked to a few schools, and I've talked to a church, and I think we're just going to have a plan B. And God forbid it does rain that night. What we'll do is we'll put somebody at the station, letting people know that we have moved it, and that way people arriving for it can just drive on over to where we have moved it. Because the only thing that would cause us to move it would probably be rain. I mean, it's going to be cold. It's December. That's the way that goes. Snow.
And
yeah.
Go ahead.
Snow, I don't think we're going to have a truckload of snow. It's saying maybe an inch, and that's not bad. So the only way we would probably move it inside is if it was pouring rain during that hour. And that's unlikely to happen. Now, just as soon as I say it's unlikely, it'll happen. But we'll have a plan B in place. That way, if that should happen, we'll just stick somebody at the station, and everybody who shows up there will say, hey, because of the rain, we had to move it to the church or to the school.
Well, we know that if it rains or snows, well, snow isn't as much as rain. You can tolerate some flakes falling down the thaw. A fruitcake, I believe, but if it's rainy, it's kind of 40 people waiting your turn to throw it. Well, that we couldn't. And 40, say everybody comes in their own vehicle or something like that, 40 vehicles down around that area is going to be a little uncommon to find parking area at all.
That's another interesting thing. Now, we had the offer from Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and I think we're working on making that offer happen. But now they have great parking, so there was the thought that we could have it outside at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, which I should know more about today. And that way we would still be outside, but the parking would be better. So it'll run in the paper before then. This is why we haven't run the article in the paper. Because we want to make sure to tell people the right information.
Well, irregardless if it runs in the paper or not, I wouldn't know any different. But you know what? I've got a morale and so excited to throw that fruitcake that I would make it a point, if I was in the entry lineup, that I would make it a point prior to that to see what within an hour or so if it's going to move or not, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got you in this. Now, here are some of the – I don't have the full list in front of me, but we've got Pastor Whitaker, Sarah, Judy Cressup, Buckeye Guy, Fruitcake Lily, Ralph Thacker, Glenn Tobel, pretty much everybody here from the station, Sheriff Bales, Lieutenant Brown from the police force, Fire Chief Chuck Deem, Mayor Schertzer, Mayor Kellogg, James Anderson, Dr. Davis, Prosecutor Ray Grogan, Judge Edwards, whole host of people.
Oh, my goodness, those are big hitter names, man alive in Marion. Those are big hitters, you know. That's going to be a tough competition, isn't it?
Well, you know, Mayor Schertzer was not... I like the square off with the mayors here. We've got Mayor Schertzer and Mayor Kellogg.
Oh, you know what? I never did hear how Mayor Schertzer done with his running for office. I missed that on your being listening to your radio show. How did he do, Scott?
Not well. Not well. He lost by about 20% statewide, and lost in he only got 34% of the vote in Marion County. So he lost Marion County by about 64%.
Well, I was part of that one that voted for him, so I can say, well, we'll have to try it again, Scott.
Well, I still don't understand how he got more votes statewide than he did in Marion County. He only got 34, I believe, percent of the vote in this county. Now, how did that happen?
Well, that's a hard question to say about, voting anymore. I think people just don't get enthused and don't get worked up about the people that they're going to vote for. They don't really know anymore. People don't know each other anymore, only what they read, and I'm the type of person, I don't care anything about he said, she said, they said. I make it a point to find out, but in that category, that's hard to make a decision, you know, that what they're assignment is and what they would do for you and this and that. And so statewide people like that, I don't think people really care too much about it. I don't know if I'm correct in saying that or not. Local people, they know that they don't want, they'll make a point they aren't going to have them there. But I think anymore in the political arena that, I don't know, popularity and getting a vote on popularity, I don't think is a fair way, you know, as, I like that person, I don't like that person, you know. When it comes to voting for somebody to do a job and to benefit from it, why, that is a pretty tough decision.
I think you're right. You know, I'm glad you called in, because I was just telling the listening audience here about a problem I have, and maybe you might know the answer to this. Now, last night, I had my Christmas tree up, and I've had it up since the day after Thanksgiving. And I was talking on the phone last night, and half the lights on my tree went out. I have about three strands, and the lights went out. So I ran over to Meijer real quick, and I bought a new strand of lights. But how do you get the... I put the new lights on it. But how do you get that old strand of lights off when you already have the ornaments, the garland, the other lights on the tree? How in the world do you get that old strand of lights that's no longer working off the tree without pretty much... Okay, go ahead.
Very easy question to answer. Just put the new ones over top of the other ones, because most generally, to visually see your Christmas tree and really enjoy it, it's at night, or you see it from a distance at night, and you would never know that the other old lights are on there and that, and then go ahead and enjoy it, and don't fuss and mess around with it. Just put the lights on as concealed as you can get them, and weave it in and out, and it'll be fine, Scott. And you may get a different a twist to your to the ones that's on there before. Say, my goodness, I just swirled these from the top to the bottom, or the bottom to the top, and it's absolutely beautiful. So.
That's what I ended up doing, because I thought there is no possible way, without me knocking all these ornaments off and knocking this garland off and possibly knocking the other lights off, for me to get this strand off, so I just went over top of them.
Hey, that's an interesting subject, by the way. My wife is here beside me chuckling. I don't know what she thinks is funny, because she hasn't got the problem, you've got the problem, and if I had the problem, that's the way I'd solve it immediately. I don't mess around anymore with that kind of stuff, but we got a Christmas tree. We've had a good long time. Well, in Paul Nera, what is the proper name of that one? What is it, Carol? A pencil Christmas tree. And it's jointed in the middle, and I can take the joint apart by about 6 foot, and probably the average guy like us or something, maybe you could get your arms around. So it's a narrow thing. So I took it, and I said, listen, this is the last year for this old Christmas tree. I said, I'm going to put it out on the deck. And so we got it at the deck where we're in our living room. We can look up through the window there and enjoy it. And there isn't nothing. And I said, you know what? It'll stay out there, and we can plug it in every year until it don't work anymore. And she said, you know what, Ted? I read, and that this was after we had it out there, and really enjoy it, just looking through our inside to the outside through the window, and it's pretty neat. But she said, Ted, I don't know whether we ought to get rid of that Christmas tree or not. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I hear they're going for $1,000 Christmas trees. Did you ever hear such a thing as $1,000 Christmas tree?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I know we talked to Marshall Cunningham with the Y-Men, and he told me that the first day of Christmas tree sales was a record year this year.
Oh, yeah, for live tree, but I mean just for the standard. I know you could probably get them. I imagine Trump's got golden Christmas trees.
Golden Christmas trees, yeah.
Yeah, gold. That'd be gold, wouldn't it? Hey, Scott, I'm wondering where I'm going to get this fruitcake, because this is going to be, I know, pretty close to, in my mind, we've been married 60 years, out of school 60 years, and it might have been about that long before I ever thought I ever had one, but I've eaten them, and I thought I kind of enjoyed one, and I was looking forward to get that name brand when you talk about to eat, but are we going to practice with, Scott?
Well, I do know that Kroger was selling them, the actual Claxton fruitcakes. Kroger did have a display set up, I think in both stores, for
okay.
them. So I think you can get them at Kroger, and you might be able to get them at Walmart. I know Walmart sells them as well, although I have not been in Walmart to see them. But I know Kroger was selling them this year. They were definitely there during Thanksgiving time, and those were the Claxtons.
Okay, well, that's one of the final things that I wanted to get clear in my mind this morning to get one, and the event is going strong. You say when I joined the club, it was 20 when I registered, and now it's 40, and I was talking to Jeannie, and she said she's in on it. So
yep, she was entered.
59 Harding classmates in on it, so that's a pretty good sign, because it was a pretty tough bunch in 59, you know, to be in any competition. We'll compete with anyone, and Jeannie will back me up on that, I'm pretty sure. And we're serious there. We're competitive, very competitive people.
It's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, and it'd be a lot more fun in a dry area.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We will hope for dryness.
Yeah. And you say 70 foot, huh?
70 foot's the record. But, you know, he might have just got lucky last year. Maybe we won't have any 70-foot tosses this year. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Maybe they'll exceed that, you know?
That maybe?
I think we got the competitors in there. There's a competitive people that's all in the offices and stuff. They're very competitive, or they wouldn't be holding offices and the positions in the Marion area. So how would we judge people, the judge or the mayor or the police? Does the police, they get people for throwing things at other people, don't they?
Well, I keep thinking if Adam throws the fruitcake like he did last year and breaks a window, we'll have the police and the sheriff there to arrest him. And the judge to put him on trial.
We got to watch Adam. Maybe he'll get a special glove to control the release on that thing, that it's got to go one way, you know, instead of it went off to the out of bounds sideways, didn't it, Scott?
Yeah, it went left. It ended up on Pearl Street somewhere.
Hey, it's nice talking to you. Here's Carol, man.
Yes.
Hey, happy holidays, Scott. And what I was laughing about, you said the strands on the tree.
Uh-huh.
You know, you did strands of lights we have on our tree.
Well, it's good to talk with you. Well, happy holidays to you, too.
You didn't understand her. She said, do you know how many strands
of light
we have on our Christmas tree?
How many,
Carol?
Three dead ones.
Oh, three. Well, yeah, mine's pretty close now because I've got one dead one on it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, Ed, you don't see them really, but you can light them up. We just keep wrapping them around.
That's what you got to do. You can't take
them
off.
That's a pretty good solution. And the people that sell the Christmas light like to hear that. No, just go get another one, wrap it on top of the old one. Okay, Scott, have a good day.
You too. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
I'm listening to my comments and stuff. That was nice talking to you about that. And, yeah, we'll check you out here coming up. The holidays are getting closer.
They are. Thanks, Ted. All right, there you go. Well, there's some listener input. 46 minutes past the hour. Now, do you have any input on this fruitcake toss? 740-751-4038. Now, is there anybody more crafty than I? How would you have taken these lights off and put the new lights on? I mean, now you know what I did. I just wrapped the new lights right over top. I thought this is the best it's going to get. 740-751-4038. Or any thoughts on the fruitcake toss? 740-751-4038. Hopefully we hear back from the church today and we can get this press release out and see what happens. You know, at least we'll have better parking if we move it up to the church. Okay, worst flu season in years. We're hearing about that. You know, I learned yesterday that kids nowadays do not know how to address envelopes. Isn't that shocking? It's one of those things like payphones and things that kids just don't know how to do. I would have never guessed that kids in high school do not know how to address envelopes. But when you think about it, if you're a kid in high school, why would you be addressing an envelope? You probably pay all your bills online. You don't send people letters. You know, I've never thought about that. That kids in high school would not know how to address an envelope. But I saw that pretty well firsthand yesterday. Does anybody think that that's odd? Or is that just because we're all from a different generation and we think, well, everybody knows how to address an envelope? What do you think? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Speaking of weird food, by the way, I saw this story this morning. Thought you might be interested in this. As the Thanksgiving and Christmas season returns to something like normalcy, perhaps it's time for new traditions. The mad scientist at luncheon meat packager Hormel have one idea. Spam figgy pudding. What, you might be asking? And why? The first question is easier than the second. Let's start with what's in classic spam. Pork, sugar, water, salt, potato starch, and sodium nitrate. That's the preservative. The new seasonal spam includes additional fig and orange flavors. Cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, ginger, and allspice. And as ever, it is shelf stable in case of an apocalypse. You know, nobody ever buys Spam when there's a snowstorm. Bread and milk and bread. Let's see here. Lest you say this is a provision of figgy pudding, perversion of figgy pudding, let's look a little more closely at the British holiday tradition. Figgy pudding is a dense, steamed cake, not an American-style pudding, full of raisins, currants, and brandy. So, I guess there's a figgy pudding Spam. But, apparently it's hard to get a hold of. You might have to get it on eBay. It says the only review on Amazon claims that the product is definitively different but real tasty. The Washington Post's reviewer begged to differ, describing an intense orange flavor that brought to mind those horrifically dyed and colored candy fruits that somehow make their way into objectionable holiday sweets backed by a discordant chorus of baking spices. So I don't know if you can buy this on the shelf or not. Doesn't seem like it. The product launched last week and already sold out at Spam.com and Amazon. Your best bet now is to go to Walmart.com, or you'll have to report to a secondary market like eBay, where prices are already double the list price. Aye, aye, aye. In terms of the why, the company explains its reasoning. The makers of the Spam brand wanted to create a limited edition seasonal variety that captures the magic, warm flavors, and nostalgia we all crave during the holiday season. And with Spam Figgy Pudding, the brand did it all in one can. Now, what is wrong with people? First of all, Spam is not great to begin with. And now you've got Figgy Pudding Scram? Spam? Can't speak. I'm so shocked this morning, I can't even speak. Figgy Pudding Spam. Now, Spam, as I said, is not great to begin with. And Figgy Pudding, if you've ever had it, is not all that great either. So, would you want Spam with cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, ginger, and allspice in it? And this stuff is sold out and people are paying double the price for it? Well, how much is a can of Spam to begin with? Ugh. Does this sound good to anybody? Does anybody like Spam in general? Would you like Figgy Pudding Spam? Give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What do you make of Figgy Pudding Spam? And it being sold out. How in the world does that sell out and sell for double the cost on Amazon? Well, I guess Amazon sold out according to this. You got to get this on eBay. Ugh. Spam to me is just not is it even a meat? Should we even call it a meat? What is Spam, in your opinion? I don't think it's a meat. I know there's pork in it, but I don't necessarily think that's a meat. Would you try Figgy Pudding Spam? Do you like Spam in general? Give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Lots of questions on the table here this morning. What do you think we should do about the fruitcake toss? Would you try Figgy Pudding Spam? Do you like Spam in general? If a strand of lights on your Christmas tree went out, what would you do? How would you fix that problem? Do you find it interesting that high school kids don't know how to address envelopes? I found that interesting. Do you think this is going to be the worst flu season in years? That's what we're hearing. All right, 42 degrees and foggy here in Marion. Give me a buzz if you have answers to any of these questions or any kind of input at all. 55 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Spam figgy pudding. Ugh. You know, what is it with these companies creating these horrible, horrible concoctions? We got the Pepsi company coming up with Fruit Quake Mountain Dew, fruitcake flavored Mountain Dew. We've got Spam coming up with Figgy Pudding Spam. Why? Why are we doing this? Now, I'll tell you one thing I do like at the holiday season. The holiday pies at McDonald's. But you know what? I haven't even seen the advertisement for the holiday pies, which I think are just a custard pie. Does anybody else like the holiday pies at McDonald's? Have you seen the holiday pies at McDonald's? I know they had pumpkin pies back at Thanksgiving. I don't know if they have the holiday pies out yet or not. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Has anybody seen the holiday pies at McDonald's? You know, I've been known during the holiday time to have a little holiday pie from McDonald's with my Diet Coke. Although this morning, the Coke's not diet. Regular Coke this morning. Which really put this whole morning off on a bad step. I can't believe nobody has anything to say about this figgy pudding spam. What an idea. Does anybody have any idea why these companies are trying to create things for the holiday? I guess to sell, and apparently it's working. Because the fruitcake Mountain Dew apparently sold very well. And apparently this figgy pudding spam is pretty well sold out at the spam company. Sold out on Amazon. I guess maybe you can still get it on Walmart.com and maybe on eBay. But you're going to have to pay double what it's worth. Ugh, I don't know. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Do want to remind everybody, you can send us a Christmas card, 523 South Prospect Street here in Marion. Remember to put your return address in the card and a little message. We'll read the card on air, and we will get you a card back, personalized WGH card. As long as you put your return address in there, we'll read your message on the air, and then we will hang your card in the WGH studio. So all kinds of stuff going on in regard to the holidays. 523 South Prospect Street here in Marion, 43302. Get those cards back. And we've been known to be sending Christmas cards out days before Christmas Eve. Maybe we'll just send cans of figgy pudding spam out. Wouldn't that be fascinating? 59 minutes past the hour here. 42 degrees, foggy skies. Again, don't forget the fruitcake toss, December 15th, 7:10 p.m. 40 people in this thing. Winner gets a plaque, certificate, Claxton fruitcake. Dinner somewhere in town? It's going to be a happening, to be sure. Any questions? 740-751-4038. We are here for your listening pleasure this morning in the spirit of the holiday season, December the 6th, 2022. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare flip that dial.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for holiday fun. For legendary stand-up comedian Shecky Green.
Well, I send a happy Hanukkah to you.
Oh, boy, aren't we nice already. Now, this is...
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.